from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
Fridays on Sports Daily mean we're making football picks, which is always fun. We got the full cast in. TJ Cleland, Paul Savage, we'll have Brandon Zinner in a little bit joining us, I'm sure from the golf course, has become tradition. I'm Jacob Albracht alongside Tommy Kester. This is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. The IHOP hotline will be a little occupied for a minute here, but it's 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, where you can find all your favorites, the house faves, for just $6 Monday through Friday. Fellas, let's get into it. Before we do, though, Jad, how did last week go, Jad?
Oh God.
I'm not exactly sure how that.
I think I was 5-0-1. I think I'm making a comeback. I think I'm back to 500. Paul Savage is shaking in his boots. He's been sitting on his high horse for weeks, and we're coming for you, Savage.
I could see this coming. Did you see the grin on his face when he started out the conversation?
I know he had a good
I could see it coming a mile away.
All right. Well, it's here, and I'm coming for you. We have six games to pick, as we normally do. We will pick three games, three college games. We will pick three pro games. It's a K-State bye week this week, our first one of those. So we'll get into all of those things as well. Jad, hit the music, and let's start in the college ranks. There aren't a lot of big-time college games this weekend. One of them is Mizzou at A&M. A&M, a two-point favorite in this game. Paul, we'll let you start. See
Let's
if you
go.
Can rebound from your stumble down the rankings here. How do you see this one playing out?
You know something? I've not been on Missouri's bandwagon, I mean, since last year. Last year, I cast aspersions upon the University of Missouri's football team with comments like they're not physical, they're not very good up front. I didn't like the way they lined up a lot of the time. Same thing a little bit this year. I think Missouri might be the most overrated football team in America. And because of that, I'm going to go ahead and take 2 points. And I'm going to go ahead and take Texas A&M. That may be crazy, but I'm going with an old Southwest Conference school.
TJ, this line has moved a little bit. I think it's even. We're taking it at 2 because that's where it was when I checked this morning. I think it's already to 2.5 for A&M at home. What does that tell you, and what are you doing with this game?
It tells me that Paul is, in fact, crazy, because I'm definitely picking Mizzou in this one. I think that the only reason this line is so small, what I've been telling myself, is that it was such a fluky game for Mizzou against Vanderbilt, and I think that that's what lowered it. If they win that game by over a touchdown, this is going to be a Mizzou favorite in this game. I think that the odds makers are really looking at that one a lot. A&M, I know it's in College Station, but I just think this Mizzou team is significantly more talented than them, even with all the assets that they have there. But I think that Brady Cook being a better quarterback going into that environment, I think Mizzou can get the job done.
A&M has a big win at Florida. Other than that, it's McNeese State, Bowling Green, Arkansas, who's not very good. Notre Dame was a loss. Tommy, I'm struggling with this one, honestly. They're playing this at Kyle Field. I mean, it is at Kyle Field. What do you think on this one?
I'm really excited about this game. I mean, both of these teams are good, and I really like Mike Elko a lot. I think that he will do the trick in College Station and get the Aggies back to where they need to be. He had a tremendous amount of success at Duke, but it's going to take some time. It's not an overnight thing for Mike Elko, and it's wild to me that you've got a top 10 team in Missouri, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a Missouri fan whatsoever, but it's wild to me that a top 10 Missouri Tigers team is, I know they're on the road, but they're the dogs against a team that, yeah, they might be in the top 25, but they're number 25, and Missouri's getting points. I'm going to take those points. I'm going to take Missouri. I think that they're going to be able to go down to College Station and get the win. The time will come for Texas A&M and Mike Elko, but it's not going to be this week.
This would be the statement win for them. It's at Kyle Field. I'm going to bet on Kyle Field here. I think Kyle Field can take to a field goal. I really struggle with this one. Really, really struggle with this one. But I'm just going to take the home team because I think more people are betting Missouri, which kind of seems fishy to me. I'll take A&M at home. And we'll learn a lot about these two teams as we make it this week. All right, Baylor, Iowa State. We took this one looking for some, you know, a little Big 12 action in our picks. So Baylor, Iowa State, the Cyclones. It's not a surprise that they're 4-0. We thought they might be. They finished last year really strong. But they have that win over Iowa on the road. That's kind of what they hang their hat on. That's a whole lot of points, TJ, 12.5 points. You comfortable laying that kind of number?
I don't know. This is a really tough one. I'm definitely just going to steer clear of this one with the wallet for sure. But, Iowa State, I just don't think Baylor's that great, honestly. I think Dave Aranda's really on the hot seat. They played Colorado closer than I thought that they would, but I was in Boulder as well. So maybe they are just pretty good on the road, and there's something to be said about that. But I think this one, being in Ames, Iowa State's 4-0 for a reason. I think they're a surprise 4-0 team. I didn't expect them to be that good this early. But I think that they're better than Baylor. So I think they can win it by 2 touchdowns. I'm going to take a point.
Baylor at Utah kept it within 12 points. At Colorado kept it within 12 points. Against BYU last week kept it within 12 points. Paul, I'll make you smile with this one. I'm going to take the points here. I'm taking those points. 12.5, I should say. I'll take the 12.5 points. I think Iowa State's going to win the game, but that's a too big a number for me. So I'll take the 12.5 points, and I'll take Paul's Baylor Bears and get the points. What do you think, big man?
Well, I think you're smart in doing that. That's a lot of points, and Baylor isn't that good. The one asset that we have playing Iowa State. Listen, we Baylor grads have found out that Iowa State grads make good employees. We enjoy hiring them, and they do good work, and we're glad to have them on our staffs. And so with that being said, I'm going to take Baylor as well, and let's just keep the tradition going. I'm taking Baylor as if anybody would surprise, but I'm taking it because of the points.
Tommy?
You know, this is less about Baylor and more about Iowa State for me. Iowa State has the opportunity to sort of plant their flag as a team that should be considered to win a Big 12 championship. And they weren't on my short list at the beginning of the season as a team that could compete for a Big 12 championship. Matt Campbell, it's been a roller coaster for him in Ames, but it's, I think, trending back up for the Cyclones. So for me, it's less about Baylor and more about Iowa State. Did you know that this season, Iowa State is 2-0 against the spread when they've been 12.5 point favorites or more? So knowing that, I'm going to take Iowa State. I'm going to lay the 12.5. I think they win by 2 touchdowns. Wow. I really think that this is another opportunity for them to show that they're in the top echelon of the Big 12.
Let's move to another Big 12 game, Kansas at Arizona State. Tommy, I'll let you start with the Jayhawks. You've been front and center at all their, games this year. Do you think they bounce back at any point? Like, how do you handle them right now?
Vibes are way down. They're way down in Lawrence, and I didn't know that it could get so bad so quick. And we've talked about it all week that at least my belief was that the game on Saturday at Arrowhead against TCU was the first time this season that the Jayhawks didn't look like the better team in a loss. TCU outclassed them basically from start to finish, in my opinion. That's really even more difficult to bounce back from. And until it's proven otherwise to me, I'm going to take Arizona State. I don't think that Kansas will bounce back. I'm going to need the Jayhawks to prove it before I can really feel comfortable taking them again. So I'm going to take Arizona State.
TJ, I mean, at some point, can KU play good football? Like, I'm not going to be stunned if we all take Arizona State here, but I mean, can you, at what point do you get any indication they can turn this around?
I've been thinking about this all week because I feel like for the last 3 weeks I've kept saying something's got to give. KU will be the better team in one of these, but I think, what's the saying, that if it flies like a goose and it swims like a duck and flies like a duck, it's probably a duck. I don't know if I'm at that point yet, but I feel like Vegas has more faith than I do, only making this a 2.5 point spread. So I'm going to have to take Arizona State, and this is coming from the guy who, after the Lindenwood win, I said that KU was going to win the Big 12. So I'll lay in that. I'll eat that one. So I'm going to be wrong about that.
I don't know right now, based on kind of the body language and the vibe, if Lance Leipold is ready to make a difficult decision if he needs to. And and make a change, or at least a temporary change at quarterback. And until I get the sense that they can do something like that, I just can't pick KU. I just can't right now. It's, they just keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. Going on the road, it doesn't make me feel any better. I don't want to bet on Arizona State. I'm not going to actually bet this way, but I'm not going to pick Kansas either until they show us they can get something figured out. So I'll go with Arizona State. Paul, a chance for an island.
Wow,
here.
You know, it's not a very good island though. This is you know, I mean, we don't have a lot of room on this island because we got a palm tree and me. A palm tree and me is on this island, and that is it. Nothing else on this island. By the way, congratulations, you guys. You are all espousing just exactly what I said 3 weeks ago. Remember the first time that I didn't take KU? Because we were all taking KU at the beginning. We thought they were going to be pretty good. I said, guys, I don't think they're that good. I don't know if they can bounce back from this. And I went away from Kansas 3 weeks ago, which has helped me build my lead up with you guys. But an island. Dang, Tommy. An island with KU. I'm telling you, maybe, I think, what should I do? You tell me.
It's your pick, big man. Oh, it's whatever you want to do.
Because I was going to go the opposite of whatever you said, so that's what I was going to. But anyway, the point is that it's an island. It's not a great island. I'll take KU. This is a mistake. I'm going to regret it.
I'd take the island if I were you, Savage. Just Arizona State's not very good. that's the other part of this that makes it hard. It's just play a good game, please.
How about a good game?
This is a nightmare scenario for Kansas. God, right. It makes us all sick. All right, let's go to the NFL. Bills at Texans. You gonna give me the points at home with the Texans? I'm gonna take it. The Bills got embarrassed. The Texans didn't play well last week either, though. And so I think you're gonna get a bounce back from both teams. And when you get a bounce back from both teams, I'm taking the points at home with the Texans. This one's simple. Now, am I like overly confident in it? Not necessarily. But I'm taking home points with Houston. TJ?
I want to be clear that you're not getting points. You're getting point. There is one singular point that you are getting there from Houston. So basically a pick 'em for that reason. I'm going to pick the Bills. I think that they're going to win this one on the road. I think that they're a really good team. I think that, you know, last week they didn't have it. It was a good team that they played. I'm not all the way sold on Houston as I thought that I would be preseason. They're a really good team, but I think the Bills are better.
Tommy, do you agree?
I don't. I'm going to actually side with you and go with the Texans in this. I just think that with the way that the Texans organization has moved in the last year, that this favors them. They're two teams in completely different spots where – yeah, the Bills are, I don't even really want to call it a rebuild, but they've had to retool offensively. There's no doubt about that. And there's going to be ups and downs. Last week was a down. Actually, it was a down for both teams. But last week was, I think, a more expected down for the Bills, where I was just blown away by the way that Houston played. I think that Houston has a much better chance of bouncing back. So I'm going to take the Texans at home.
Paul, if you're a coach and you're a defensive coach, which you are, and you're in the Bills locker room and you watch Derrick Henry just run all over you last week, are you probably going to make some adjustments to try and stop the run this week?
Well, I'll probably adjust what I'm going to do with my safety. Yeah, there's going to be some things that we probably have to change. And by the way, just, you know, I'm kind of with you guys because if you remember when these teams were all 0-0 and we were kind of kicking around who's going to be in the Super Bowl, one of my outside teams was, and I know you probably remember, I said I thought the Texans had a shot at maybe being in the conference finals, you know, getting to some point where they're a factor in the playoffs. And I don't know that I still don't believe that. This is going to be a great football game. This is like flipping a coin. If ever there was a game I feel like I could flip a coin, I'd flip it.
Sure.
But I'm going to go ahead and go with the Texans. For the mere fact that it's a home game, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but I'm going to take the Texans just based upon the fact I made the comment they could literally be in the Super Bowl if everything falls in place. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Texans. Not sure about it. This is a coin flip for me.
I just think they're going to sell out to stop the run, TJ, and that opens things up for CJ Stroud. But you're on the Bills.
Give me the island.
Island there. All right, let's go to our next NFL game, Cowboys-Steelers. It feels like these teams never play, and they play now, and that's all the history, you know, the two-storied franchises. Steelers are 2.5-point favorites at home, which I do think is a pretty interesting line. I think the days of the Cowboys skewed lines are behind us and have been for a while, so this feels a little more true. Justin Fields at quarterback. Guys, I went first last time, so I won't go first this time. TJ, you start us off on this one.
This feels like a trap game and a half for the Cowboys. The Steelers. I don't even know who it's a trap game for. But
trap game for somebody.
If somebody's getting trapped in this game, if you're the fan base of either team, I don't feel good at all going into Sunday. I wasn't huge on the Steelers. I remember that I was keep going back to that Week 1 win where they didn't even score a touchdown and they still won the game with the Falcons, and that's kind of what set the tone for them being one of the undefeated teams. And so the offense really hasn't been stellar to my understanding, but the Cowboys haven't really sold me either. I'm going to say in Pittsburgh, I'm going to give them a home field advantage. I'll lay the 2.5 with the Steelers.
You agree with that, Tommy? What are you thinking on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I really think it's not even going to have much to do with the offensive play for Pittsburgh. It's going to be Pittsburgh's defense, and that's really the Mike Tomlin special and the reason why Pittsburgh has gotten off to the start that they have. And they're pretty stout, and especially, you know, when I think them, you know, they're going to be going up against Dak and, you know, just kind of a lackluster offense for the most part, especially a week ago. I mean, the Cowboys couldn't really do much against the Giants, even though they did get the win. Knowing all of that, I'm going to go with TJ. I'm going to take the Steelers. I'll lay the points.
Paul, do the Cowboys bounce back? Can they do anything again? You know, they didn't look overly impressive against the Giants. Now it's the Steelers. How do you see this one?
How good is the Cowboys defense going to be this weekend? That's my question. How good will they be?
Depends on if Micah Parsons plays. I mean, that's a question mark.
Well, even with Micah Parsons, they haven't exactly lit up the world on the defensive side of the ball. I have questions about the defense with the Cowboys. Steelers are always going to be solid. They're a well-coached football team. I think that this is, and particularly being in Pittsburgh, I guess I really hate to do this, Jacob, but I'm going to set you up for an island. And I want you to know I'm setting you up for this. I'm not letting you have this. I want you to take the Cowboys on your pick. I'm going to take the Steelers and give you an island with the Cowboys.
I'm glad I didn't pick first because I was taking the Cowboys anyway. I do like the Cowboys in this game. This will be a game I actually bet. This will be one of my actual betting games. I just don't trust the Steelers' offense. That's what it is for me. And I think, you know, Parsons or not, Zimmer and that defense need to make a statement. They still have some talented players. I see, you know, I don't know what it is. I feel the Cowboys a little bit this week. I think they'll be able to slow down the Steelers' offense. And at any point, we know the Cowboys can go off and go crazy. Does it happen against a defense like this? I don't know. On the road? I don't know. They look good on the road against Cleveland. I'll take the Cowboys. Not just because it's an island. I actually do like the Cowboys and the points in that one. All right, fellas. Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Chiefs, 5.5-point favorites at home against the Saints. Tommy, you can start us on this one. No Rashee Rice. This is full life without Rashee Rice. You comfortable with 5.5?
I actually am. I think this is going to be the time that we see Kansas City break through. And I think that they win. I think that they win by a touchdown, maybe 10 points against a Saints team that, has kind of fallen off a cliff offensively after the first 2 weeks of the regular season. And I don't think that it's going to be because of, it, you know, really anything passing related. I think Kareem Hunt is going to have an incredible game.
His practice yesterday.
In his first game back inside Arrowhead. I really think that. So I'm gonna ride with the Chiefs. I'm gonna lay the 5.5. I just like them in this spot at home with everything going on.
Hunt missed practice. I don't know what that's all about. I assume he's okay. TJ, are you good here? It's really, to me, it's a question about the Saints more than it is the Chiefs. What do you think about 5.5 points?
Yeah, seems like a lot of points whenever you don't have Isaiah Pacheco or Rashee Rice on the field. So this would be the game, based on history, if the Chiefs are going to lose one. It feels like something has to give one of the weeks, and this would be the one to do it in. But that being said, I am going to the Chiefs game, and there's no chance that I'm going to bet against the Chiefs. So I'm going to make my pick with the Chiefs as well here. I'm going to say that they cover. I can see a Kareem Hunt game as well. I definitely don't think we're going to see another Carson Steele game after what we've seen the past couple of weeks. So I think this is the Hunt coming out party, the reappearing party. I don't know what you call that.
Yeah, I thought he had kind of had that last week. I thought he looked good. He certainly looked better than I thought he would. Looked like he had a little more juice than I thought he would. I like the Chiefs here. It's to me, this isn't so much about any of that. It's just that I think the Saints are a bit of a pretender. It's that the Chiefs have had good history against Derek Carr. I just don't think the Saints are as good as people think they are. Willing to be wrong on that. The Chiefs will get tested by another good running back in Alvin Kamara that can catch passes, which has always been a challenge for them. But I think the defense steps up in a big, big way in this one. I like the Chiefs. I'll lay those points. I'm comfortable with it within a touchdown. Paul, you got a chance at an island with the Saints. You going to take it?
Well, here's the thing. The beautiful part about this is I am rooting for the Chiefs. And when you're going to give some points, you can still cover the for a win for me and still win the game. How many 1-point games has Kansas City won this year? How many times have they been underneath, say, a field goal? A bunch. So I think it's safe to say Chiefs cover and win the game all at the same time. I'm going to take the Saints, Chiefs by 3.
Chiefs by 3. Okay, I could see that too. I mean, that's kind of the way the Chiefs are playing.
That's the way they're playing. Yeah.
So we'll get Brandon's picks. He'll send those in, and we'll mark those down as well. But yeah, look, let's all just hope we all had a little luck with our wallets, I think, in talking to people last week. Let's hope that trend continues, and we'll see how these picks go. But there it is. There's your picks, everybody, on a Friday, a tradition here on Sports Daily. Another tradition, we're going to talk a little high school football. TJ will stick around, and we'll do that next as we make our way through. Week 5 of the high school football season is here as well.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, we'll talk about it on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage, TJ Cleland sticking around with us. Tommy will be back in a bit. We're talking a little high school football. Catch It Kansas Friday. Glad to be here on a Catch It Kansas Friday. We are into week 5 of the high school football season. TJ, you guys have a full slate coming up. I don't see the marquee City League game this week. But there are other good games around the area. What is catching your eye at Catch It Kansas the most this week?
Yeah, just a couple of them. The game of the week this week is kind of the story, which is really kind of the story of the high school football season, is teams kind of making surprises, teams that are good that we didn't really expect to be that good. And that's kind of the true in the game of the week. You know, it's Andover at Eisenhower. Andover, obviously, with the losing streak coming in, that whole story, they're trying to get back to .500, above .500 this week, which would be quite the feat after, you know, going 0-9 last year. Eisenhower, they had a lot of success last year. It was the best season in school history. If you go back a year before that, they only won 3 games. And so that's kind of the story of you go from 0-9 to what they are now, and then Eisenhower going from, you know, 3-10 or whatever it was to go into, you know, being a contender in Class 5A. That's the game of the week. Another good one that I think will be a lot of fun as Pratt is coming to Wichita playing collegiate. Pratt's undefeated. You know, they knocked off Hoisington, who's always a team out there around the Great Bend area that's really, really good. And collegiate, they've lost to Andale. They scraped by Wellington. I think that they're a really good team. That's probably the best game you're going to find in Class 3A outside of Andale Collegiate that we saw last week. So a lot of fun in that one as well.
I was at the Andover, Mike. Kids were cheerleading or whatever. I was at the Andover game. I thought they looked really good. They were physical. They were, much more so than a year ago. I think that has been a pretty fun story this year. What about Derby and Hutch? You know, I think we want to build that. These are the two big schools that in the last 20 years, you know, two of them anyway, that have had this. We sort of saw Hutch kind of getting back on track. I don't know. How big an underdog is Hutch in this game?
If you were asking me to make a spread, I'll set it at like 12.5 points, something like that. And that's not a knock on Hutch. The stat that I pulled up for that game is Hutch lost to Andover Central week 1, who Andover Central is probably a top 5 team in our area. Hutch, though, after that, they have not allowed a single point. They have held teams scoreless for three straight weeks. They've won by a combined, I don't know, like 40 points or whatever it is. So a really good team there. Terrell King, he's a wide receiver slash running back slash safety slash cornerback slash punt returner for them. I imagine he'll be playing at the Division I level. I think he's still a junior, I believe, maybe a senior this year. I can't remember. But a really good player there in Hutch. But that just tells you how good of a team Derby is. They've got so many guys that are – this is pretty much – I mean, they could compete with junior colleges, I think, at this point. They're so good. They've got so many prospects that are heading to the next level. And when you got a guy like Brandon Clark leading all those next-level prospects, they're the best team in the state probably.
You know, I hate to ask this question because it's a City League question. And I'm going to ask you, are there any stories that we need to follow? Any storylines? Give me something, anything that we need to follow between now and the time the playoffs start. Because, you know, the three big teams have all played each other. The City League, the City League championship is taken care of. Northwest is going to win that. Are there any stories? And what are you following out of the City League at this point, at least until we get to the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we talk about Wichita East a lot on this show for some reason, probably because one of the guys coaching is the guy sitting in the chair right there. But Wichita East is such an interesting story because I still think that they're probably one of the most talented teams in the area or the entire state. They're probably top 10 talented team in the state with all the guys that they have. And it just seems like they just haven't really kind of played up to what they can be. You know, they're a team that probably is right there with Northwest talent-wise. They're a team that was probably better than Capen. They have another tough one. Highland Park tonight, I'm going to be out at that one. Highland Park is a team that has not found a ton of success up in the Topeka area, but they've had so many athletes come through there. They had the Trey Richardson kid who went to Hutch and was like the best junior college player in the country. They're off to a 4-0 start. That's another test for East. That's how they can bounce back. I think this will get them above 500. That's kind of one of the biggest stories that I'm watching. Capen obviously is another big story. As you said, I don't think they can win the City League at this point, but just how good they can be. Nobody really expected them to be as good as they were last year. But now being in Class 4A, if they can win enough of these games, they're going to get some pretty good seating. And 4A is going to be tough. So I'm watching that story as well.
TJ, what else? You mentioned some of the 3A. Are there any real small schools out there with games that, you know, should get us excited tonight?
A couple of them. I know there's one. This is still 4A, but I still think it's a really fun matchup. Wamego and Bueller is going to be a good one tonight. When you get kind of the cross-state matchup, Wamego's coming over to play in that one. Bueller looks really good. I think their only loss is to Great Bend, who's a ranked 5A team, and Wamego's a team that's been competing for state championships every single year. So big test there. Cheney's traveling out to Hoisington. That's going to be a good one we're going to have tonight. Obviously, Cheney's one of the most talented teams in 3A, if not the best team in 3A. Hoisington's a really talented 2A with state championship last year, seeing how they can bounce back in that one. I know tonight Hutch Trinity going down to Conway Springs. I think that's a 2A, 1A matchup. Conway's the best team in 1A. Should be a lot of fun there. And another one that I'm really excited about is Circle and Winfield. Winfield, another one of these teams, like I said, that's kind of having the coming out party. I think that they haven't had five win season since 2019.
Yeah.
And they were off to a 3-0 start. They just fell to McPherson last week, who obviously we know who's super good. But it's crazy how many – I think that if they win tonight, it'll be – they've only had a 4-win season twice since 2013, I think is what the stat was. So another one of these teams. It's a lot of fun to see these teams just get excited about football whenever they kind of had the lulls throughout the years.
I love it. What about I wanted to ask you this too, TJ, before we let you go. Some of the individual players out there, it's watching Avery Johnson that has it on my mind. Some of the big names, Lincoln Cure, we've known about him. Are any individuals standing out as guys we might need to look for on Saturdays here pretty soon?
Oh, I mean, I tweeted last week. If you haven't seen it, go check out the video. Desaun Brame, the kid from Derby, the tight end. They put him at kick returner and punt returner now. That tells you how athletic and a tight end that he is. It is absurd.
Wow.
I think he's the best pass catcher at the high school level that I've seen. I mean, he could play wide receiver for a lot of these schools. So I think that he might even play some wide receiver at Tennessee. Super athletic kid there. Really looking forward to him. I know Derby's got another one, Max Robinson, one of their offensive linemen who's getting recruited by literally everybody. East has a couple kids that are going to the next level and playing Division I. Northwest, I really like Jalen Mason, the quarterback there. He's got an Iowa State and KU offer. John Michael Fountain from Northwest has like four or five or six offers. A linebacker there is going to be really good. So a lot of talent in the City League. Should be a lot of fun. I could go on and on, but I think those are probably the ones that come to mind first.
Well, of course, you can catch it all on the Catch It Kansas show on KWCH tonight, and the family of networks, I should say KSCW tonight, KWCH later this weekend. You can, of course, find everything at catchitkansas.com on the Catch It Kansas app. And then, TJ, again, remind us of the pregame festivities that you guys have this year.
Yeah, so we've all got our live shots and everything throughout 12 News at 4, 12 News at 5, 12 News at 6. And now we've also got the 12 News kickoff show. That airs on the 12 News app. You can get that on the Catch It Kansas Facebook page as well. This week we've got the full slate back again, me, Brandon, and Rachel Hallam. They'll all be live at their games all, and we'll kind of just toss it around the top five games of what we think of them, who we think is going to win them. We're going to break down the game of the week, top couple of games, and put our high school ball knowledge to the test. We do the picks on here. I think last week in the high school picks, I went like 1-4. So it's not just college and professional that I'm not good at. I'm also not great at the high school rankings, I guess.
it's a fool's errand, but we love it and we do it anyway. All right. Follow TJ on social at KWCHTJ. At Catch It Kansas. They'll have all the fun videos and stuff. And then the recap, of course, tonight on the Catch It Kansas show. Enjoy it, TJ. Happy Friday Night Lights.
It should be some good football weather tonight. I'm ready to not be sweating by the end of the night.
Yeah, that's true, too. I'm not ready for the cold, though. So we'll take this. We'll take this light go into fall. All right. That's TJ Cleland. Follow it at Catch It Kansas. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We'll talk a little more football on Sports Daily as we make our way through this week-ending edition of the program. You've got your Text to Win contest. You can win some HTO. Text keyword T to 20357. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you now as we sort of reset things a little bit here in hour number two, getting ready to wrap up the week. The IHOP hotline is back open for you at 869-1240. You can also leave us your comments on our video streams, which are available to you, of course, on 12 News Connected Plus, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Our picks are in the books. And we're having a little fun here on a Friday, Paul, getting ready for some Royals playoff baseball, getting ready for the weekend. You know, you and I haven't talked a ton of KU in the times we've been together, this mess that has been the KU season. Tommy and I have talked about it a lot. When you watch this and you see the first real, we'll call it heat that Lance Leipold has felt since he's been the coach at KU, it's getting a little tense there. Jalen Daniels continues to play poorly by his own standard. Where do you fall with it? Do you think KU should be looking at making a change at quarterback? Do you and I don't even say that like anybody behind Jalen Daniels is more talented, but what I just don't know how you can keep running out there somebody who's not completing a ton of passes, intercepting it. And maybe it's a coaching issue, which is the other thing. And it's an offensive coordinator issue. But doing nothing, Paul, seems crazy to me. Yeah. KU feels like they're doing nothing to try and fix any of this.
Well, my question is, do you think that the KU offense is being all that it can be? Because what I've watched
Absolutely not.
So that I don't. And the first thing you do is you don't blame the kids. The first job of a football coach is to put your team in a great position to win and be successful.
Sure.
I don't get that sense, Jacob. I don't get the sense that that's where KU is at.
So you're now, more on coaching.
I really am. I don't want to blame the kids yet because we know that Jalen could be a great quarterback. He's very athletic. He's got a great arm. I mean, I think he's got a sense of the game. I don't think he's being put in a situation where he can be
either.
Successful. And that's where I put the blame for right now. It's not on the kids. It's on the coaches. Now, that flies in the face of Coach Leipold because you look at him, you think to yourself, geez, all the success this guy has had. Look at the rep he had going into this year. I mean, he was adored by KU Football Nation. Everybody thought this is the right guy for the job. Well, you know something? There's something wrong. I don't know if it's the head coach, but I know there's something wrong on the staff. And I think that might go all the way down to the offensive line coach, maybe even to the receiver coach, to the running back coach, obviously to the coordinator, because it seems like things are out of sort, don't they?
Well, and now it's bleeding in because now they're not playing good defense for the last couple of weeks.
That's right.
It's all spiral. That's my thing. Yeah. Like, I don't know. And I don't know. Maybe there's not an answer. Maybe they're just not as good as we thought they could be. That's a possibility, I suppose. But that I just can't figure doing the same thing over and over again to the same result. And that's being too general with it, I know. But if there's a disagreement on how much blame needs to go to Grimes, the offensive coordinator, or Jalen Daniels, the quarterback, the reality is that combination of people is not working. You know, whichever side of that you take, to continue to put those two out there in the same situations, that's what I can't wrap my head around, right? Like, at what point do you change something if you're Leipold, and do you just force the issue until something, you know, until you get a better result?
Mm-hmm. You got to do something, though. And sometimes, you know, not doing anything, you know, a lot of times people say, you know, one of the best things you can do is leave things alone and let them work themselves out. Not in this case, because obviously right now you're almost halfway through a football season and things aren't working out. Expectations are not being met. You are, Lance Leipold, you are a guru. You are a savior. You've got to do something. And I don't know what it is, although I think I know what it is, but I don't need to say what I think it is, on at least at this particular time. But I'll tell you, it's interesting to me that he's not catching more, you know, flack than a lot of coaches will be. I mean, sure, he's getting some criticism, but it's not him. He's not catching the flack because of the success that he had, the expectations of KU Nation. But man, you got to make some changes. You got to do something. And I'm telling you, you look at teams at the pro level. Boy, oh boy, when things go flat, things go south. What happens, Jacob? Changes are made. People are changed. Now, I'm not saying he can go out and get anybody he wants, but there are people within that football organization that you can shuffle things around. You can change this, change that. But whatever's going on right now, it's not working. I got off the KU bandwagon 3 weeks ago, ran three straight on Friday football picks because I was that guy that was going against KU. And week after week, I watched my fellow pickers talk about, well, this is the week they switch it around. Well, no, this is the week we switch it around. Next, no, this is the week when I know they're going to switch it. And the switch around has never come. I don't think doing nothing is an option at this point.
Well, I don't either. I think you're going to get the same result over and over. But that
Bingo.
Game will be Saturday.
It
would be great. I mean, it would be therapeutic if KU would just come out and smash them.
Well, about that?
Like they should be able to. Like we thought they'd be able
to. Yeah, I know.
My concern has become that it's spiraling out of control.
Well,
and, you know, before the TCU game, I didn't feel that way. I thought, yeah, KU's been better. They're just not finishing these games. And that held out hope for me that they could still salvage this. Then the TCU game happened. And they were not better. TCU was better than they were on that particular day, at least. And you've seen Leipold get a little, there's been a little more animosity with the media. And I'm like, you know, we've seen this before other places. Like, this is not good. This feels like it's getting out of control a little bit now. It's no longer just about not being able to execute late in the game to get a win. Now more about is everybody still invested here? Like this, and that has been this doomsday nightmare scenario we've feared for a long time.
Right.
Build a new stadium. You have these expectations. It's all built to this season. Jalen Daniels is back. All these things. And it could not have fallen flatter out of the gates. I guess they could have lost to Lindenwood, but this is like a worst case scenario, Paul, for what this season could be and is for KU right now.
May not be salvageable. I know nobody said those words. I just said them, Jacob. This may not be a salvageable season. Oh gosh, I don't want to be the one to say that. But you show me, you show me anything I can hang a hat on. You show me show me anything, because I don't see anything changing. I haven't seen anything change. I've watched enough KU football over the first half of the season to know that this is where they are. This is who they are. This is their identity. I haven't seen enough changes to justify saying that. But right now, this season, as it now sets, is not salvageable. I hate to say that, but it might be this is it. Start building. Start doing some things. Get some players in. Do some things. Get some young kids some playing time. Start taking a look at some plays. Maybe check out some new formations. Check out some new ways you line up on defense. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it takes. But something needs to be shook up. Something needs to be changed, in my opinion.
I agree. Something, not nothing.
Something, not nothing.
Real quick, K-State's on a bye week. We have not talked this week about what you saw from them last week. The exact opposite. Everything feels just right for K-State, doesn't it, right now?
Right.
You see Avery play that way. You go into your bye. You make it through. The BYU game was the aberration, right? You have the two wins against Oklahoma State and Arizona. Now you're getting into a winnable portion of the schedule. I know it's road games, and Colorado's probably better than we thought. Well, they're at least at the high end of what we thought they could be. But you're feeling right. You're feeling real good right now if you're a K-State fan.
Well, I didn't feel good with BYU. I can tell you that. I thought, oh my goodness, will the real Kansas State University football team stand up? And of course, I think they've stood up and said, no, that wasn't us. And I like the word you used for that game, an aberration. I think that might be the right word, Jacob, aberration. I hope that's right. I think that was right. But this is quite frankly, just the opposite of K-State and KU. I was thinking that KU was going to be that team that we were going to be doing the talking about, and it turns out it's going to be K-State. We're seeing Avery Johnson developed at a very slow, plodding, scripted way, and I don't think that's all bad because he is going to be a good one. I don't think there's any question about that. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting to watch this team develop. They're better than I thought they were going to be, and I think that probably speaks for a lot of people, which actually kind of just says something about, we were talking about coaching with Leipold and his staff. It says something about the K-State coaching staff and what a good job they're doing, and they're bringing these kids along at the rate they want, at the pace they want, doing the things that they want done. And one coaching staff I'm very critical, and the other I'm tipping my cap.
Well, they made a change at offensive coordinator too. We have not talked about that probably enough, Paul. You know, we have focused so much on how the change at offensive coordinator is not working at KU, but at K-State, Connor Riley and that offense, remember, they changed coordinators too. And that's going pretty well. And it seems to be growing and getting a little bit better, right? Avery's playing better. Dylan Edwards is getting more comfortable. We knew Giddens was a star, but that offensive line that had some questions this year appears to be pretty good. So credit there too. We've only talked about the negative side of the offensive coordinator changes here in the state of Kansas, but Connor Riley's done, I think, a really good job with those changes at K-State. And, you know, Paul, quite simply, that's a team that can win the Big 12, Kansas State.
Sure can.
Nothing changes there.
There's no question in my mind that's a possibility. Now, it's not going to be easy, but I think that's a real possibility.
Because the league's as good.
Well, anybody if we go down the roster of games left, I can tell you right now, I can almost make a case for everybody that they play that they can win the game.
In an individual game, I agree. I completely agree. Everything we just said, when Kansas and Kansas State play, you're going to tell me Kansas doesn't have a chance to win that game? You're crazy.
That's right.
Of course they do.
You're exactly right.
And that's why we watch Baylor-Iowa State. That game's interesting to me this weekend.
It is.
And kind of a slow week in college football, to be quite honest. All right, we'll take a final break here. We'll come back. We'll get you all. There is a lot going on in the Odyssey family of networks and the sports world. We'll get you all caught up on it next.